Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former federal prosecutor and president of West Coast Trial Lawyers, Nima Rahmani.
On the surface, you look at the 160-some page document and you're like, what the hell is this? And you start reading and it starts to sound like some sort of an HBO movie. And then you start realizing, oh, there's actually some receipts to this. Some of this actually could be somewhat legit. As an attorney, what was your reaction when you started hearing this whole other side that the defense of Richard Allen is presenting?
You know, Tony, my initial reaction was, what the hell is this? You know, yeah. I've seen some crazy things in my more than 20 years of practice, but I've never seen anything like this where you're blaming this white supremacist cult and you got some professor who's there talking about the placement in the bodies. So look, I mean, I knew nothing about this, frankly, until I heard about it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, I've dealt with white supremacists in my day and, you know, gangs and organized crime and all that, but mm-hmm. not this type of pagan cult. So I'm far from an expert, but yeah. You know, speaking of experts, they apparently got one. So, and this expert's going to come testify that, you know, it wasn't Richard. It was really, you know, this sacrifice to whatever God or gods they believe in.
Which is interesting because my first reaction was, okay, if this happened and if this in fact is this Odinistic ritual cult that carried this out, are there other unsolved cases in the area? Are there other murders that took place or missing people that would be connected to this cult? I guess why now or why then would they have just out of nowhere picked these two little girls and then guess what, we're going to do a pagan ritual with them just because they were out walking one day in the woods?
Yeah, I don't understand it. Obviously, you know, I know nothing about this cult, but like I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's a white supremacist cult and they killed two white girls, right? It's not like, you know, they killed people of color. And then the allegations are that some of the guards in the jail are part of this cult and they're giving Allen a hard time. But I'm like, well, isn't that years after the murder? You know, I can't really connect the dots. The argument's a little bit all over the place. And kind of the strange thing about it is normally when defense lawyers, you know, pull these kind of rabbits out of the hat, it's really a trial. And this is the type of case that you know is going to trial, right? I mean, Allen denied doing any of this. He's not going to take a deal. You can't offer a deal, right? Someone who's killed two girls. So why not wait to kind of spring it on the prosecution after they impanel a jury? You know, why are you kind of tipping your hand? I think there's no way the motion to dismiss will be granted by any judge in any courtroom in the country. So kind of interesting, I'd say, defense strategy to lay your cards out, because we know that defense lawyers like to, you know, spring these surprises on the prosecution.
Yeah, I mean, was the thought process here that putting this out there in a little bit of investigating is going to exonerate him early and the whole case could get dismissed? Or was that really wishful thinking? What is the goal here on the part of the defense by throwing all this out there in super great detail, including naming names of other individuals that they believe may be responsible?
Yeah, it's very strange. I don't think so. For a motion to dismiss, right? You know, we're looking at a separation of powers issue. One is, okay, did law enforcement and prosecutors, did they focus on the wrong person, right? And the Delphi murders, you know, have been the subject of a lot of criticism because, you know, they were unsolved for so many years, right? Sure. You know, but it's really, it's not really kind of up to a judge. I mean, a judge can decide if, you know, there's no probable cause, right? Mm-hmm. A judge can dismiss an indictment, but, you know, it's not really for a judge to say, hey, you know, DA's office, sheriff's department, police department, go investigate these people. Mm-hmm. So you're really kind of going all in saying there's no probable cause for the state to charge Allen when, you know, you got the video, obviously not the best quality video, but, you know, he's at least there's enough probable cause for, you know, a jury to or a judge to believe that there's enough evidence to go to a jury. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Look, I agree with the suppression motions, trying to, you know, suppress the statements and the evidence. Those are kind of standard defense motions. But a full-on motion to dismiss at this stage in the proceedings, pretty uncommon. The other thing that may be the reason, and we're kind of seeing this in Koberger, mm-hmm. we're seeing motions that, frankly, don't have a good chance of success. Mm-hmm. But you see the lawyers there in Idaho. They're trying to create any potential appellate issue. They're looking at, you know, maybe getting a death sentence overturned mm-hmm. on appeal. But I don't know if that's the angle here with the Delphi case.
It certainly, after reading 160 some pages of this, at a minimum, it seems to introduce some reasonable doubt into the guilt of Richard Allen. They playing the cards on this almost like we were talking about Koberger, where they're throwing it out there before there even is a jury. It's just to potential jurors to get the notion out there that, you know, there's a whole other ball of insanity here that you're not even hearing about yet that could very likely put other people at the murder scene other than just Richard Allen.
Yeah, and there has been speculation that Allen wasn't, you know, acting by himself. There's the whole social media component and the catfishing and all that. So look, maybe there's others involved, but at the end of the day, you have someone who reportedly confessed multiple times to killing these girls, right? And these are on jail calls to his wife and his mother. So if you take the prosecution's filings at face value, you have someone who's confessed. You have someone who experts are going to say was at the scene, the clothing matches. You know, obviously, we don't have all the evidence that puts them at the scene of the murders, but this is going to be a tough case to defend and point the finger at all these other people, the boogeymen, when you have a confession and a recorded one.
And the argument that's being made about the confession and the recorded one, that goes back to the guards at the prison saying that they're part of this Odinistic cult and that they basically pressured him to say those things on the phone, basically at the duress of possibly hurting other people within his family. It's quite a stretch. It's very much something out of a movie. But, sure. I mean, if true, that would make sense, considering he's still pleading not guilty, but on those phone calls, he had to say those things. That, at a minimum, I think, require a little bit of looking into, I would think, to see how did he make those statements? Was it under duress in some way, shape, or form? And did it sound like his normal conversations that he would have with other people?
Yeah, I mean, the defense is arguing that, like you said, it was a duress issue or diminished capacity. Basically, he was compelled to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's not possible, but really, these things are very unlikely that you got these. Again, you know, I'm just not a fan of these conspiracy theories. I think law enforcement, they do the right thing. You know, there's lots of videos in jails. There's obviously everything's audio recorded, the phone calls in and out. So this is a stretch. I understand defense lawyers have to do their job and they got to play with the cards that they're dealt. But I don't think any reasonable jury, and much less a judge, is going to buy this argument.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.